Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Amen. I would like to consider with you the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah in the 20th chapter. I won't read the text in its entirety, but the first part of it at this time. Jeremiah says, O Lord, you have deceived me and I was deceived. You are stronger than I and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, and then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. This is God's word. Please be seated. Back in the early days of our country, in southern Wisconsin, there was a weary traveler who came to the banks of the mighty Mississippi River for the first time in his life and realized how big of a river that is, and no bridge. This was before the bridges had been built to cross. It was early winter, and the surface of this mighty river had all been covered over with ice. Question is, could he get over? Could he cross over on the ice? Would the uncertain ice bear up under his weight? Night was falling, and he really needed to get to the other side of the river. And so finally, after a lot of hesitation and fear and trepidation, he got down on his hands and knees and belly, and he began to crawl across that frozen river, trying to distribute his weight evenly so that the ice wouldn't break underneath him. He got about halfway across the river, and all of a sudden, out of the dusk, he heard a voice singing. And he looked back, and from behind him came this man driving a horse-drawn load of coal across the ice. And here he was just merrily singing his way along. No fear at all about the ice holding him up. Just making his way across the river. And this man who's down there on his belly looked at his hands, still shaking for fear that the ice would break under him. And he looked up at that driver as he whisked on by and waved hello to him. And he felt a little bit silly. Here this heavy load was being carried on the ice, and he hadn't even trusted it himself. Like this weary traveler, some of you have only learned to creep and to crawl along on the promises of God. Cautiously, timidly, and with much trembling, we venture forth as though God's promises are not entirely reliable, and as though the lightness of our treading upon His promises might make it safer for us out there. And then all of a sudden, we see somebody else standing confidently on God's promises, who has a load much bigger than our own, and we wonder to ourselves, why have I been crawling along like this? Surely He can uphold me too. In our Old Testament reading, the prophet Jeremiah pours out his heart as he complains about his lot in life. And he presents God this whole long list of grievances. He said, Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. Now, in this context, deceived doesn't mean deception like we think of it. It is more the nuance of persuasion. And he's referring to his call as a prophet. Lord, he says, I didn't want to be your spokesman. I did not want to be your prophet. You persuaded me to do this. And now here I am persuaded. And what has it gotten me to be your prophet? And then he goes on and he says, I have become a laughingstock and everyone is mocking me. And the reason they are mocking me, he says, is because of my message. And that was another gripe of his. I cry out violence and destruction because, O Lord, as a prophet, that's the word you put into me. to warn Israel of impending doom because of her sins. And yet that judgment never comes. And so everybody thinks that Jeremiah is this crazed doomsayer, like that hippie-ish, long-bearded, robed guy out on the street corner who's holding up that sign, you know, the end is near. Jeremiah feels like he has been called to be the prophet who cried wolf. And he cries violence and destruction so much and the judgment of God, and it's not happening. And the people just roll their eyes back in their heads when he preaches. But then he says, if I try not to speak about you anymore, O Lord, if I try to hold your word inside of me, that word becomes like a fire in my bones, and I can't hold it in. And yet, when I speak it, everyone turns against me, they denounce me, they plot to overcome me, they look with glee for me to fall. And after reading all of that, you would think that Jeremiah is about to throw in the towel. This prophet thing just isn't working out. It's not worth the cost. It's not paying any dividends. And nobody is listening anyway. Jeremiah is at the point of extreme weakness and vulnerability. And you get the impression that he is the man who is crawling along on the ice. He is the one who is creeping and crawling along on the promises of God, fearing that God's promises are not strong enough to uphold him, not in his situation, that God's promises are not reliable enough to preserve him. But then, just when you think that Jeremiah is about to fall through the ice and drown, there is this great reversal that takes place in this text. And all of a sudden he says, but the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. Amazing, amazing, all of a sudden, it is this weak one who is claiming the victory. Victory in the Lord and in his promises. And he says, the Lord is fighting for me, not for them. And because of that, they are the ones who will stumble, not I. They will be ashamed who have tried to shame me. They will fail, I will succeed. They will be dishonored forever, and I will be exalted by the Lord. They will receive justice, and I will be vindicated. It turns out, weakness can be a great advantage. You see, the problem with strong people in their own strength is that they are too proud to admit that they need help. Whereas people in their weakness possess a humility that allows and rejoices in the help of one more powerful than they. And thus the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Jeremiah, in his weakness, would ultimately be the instrument of God's powerful word to unrepentant sinners, to warn them of God's impending wrath, and to leave them without an excuse in this world for their sin. But it would also be a powerful word to save the repentant remnant of Israel, and for Jeremiah himself to triumph over his enemies. His was an invincible weakness. It's one of the paradoxes of our faith. When I am weak, then I am strong. In the weakness of his life, despite all of his complaints, despite the heavy load that he was carrying, he stood confidently upon the promises of God and trusted that those promises would uphold him and sustain him to victory. And in this way, Jeremiah is a type and a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ himself. Think about it. When was Jesus the strongest? Was it when he went in a rant into the temple courtyards and cleared out the money changers and all the merchants there? No, that wasn't when he was strongest. Oh, that was strength, yes. But the ones whom he did manage to chase out, they came right back in again and they resumed their trading, and they didn't accomplish much. Was he strongest when he forcefully condemned the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and he called them a brood of vipers and other things as well? That was strength, oh yes. But that was not his strongest. He put them in their place, but apparently it did not cure their pride. Jesus was strongest, paradoxically, when he was at his weakest. Suspended by nails on a cross, Jesus is the very picture of weakness and helplessness. And yet it is precisely then that the strong arm of God stretched forth to do a deed more mighty than the creation itself, to save us from our sins, to save us for heaven, to sanctify sinners. Impossible, but he did it on the cross. And through all of that, Jesus didn't just creep and crawl along on the promises of God. He stood firm, trusting that despite every outward sign that he was losing, that the Heavenly Father would turn this monstrous evil into ultimate good, the salvation of mankind. And that when all was said and done, he, not they, would have the victory, and we would have the victory with him through our faith. Jesus had even more perfectly what Jeremiah had: invincible weakness. So then, I ask you today, why should we act as though God's promises are not strong enough to hold us up in our particular situation? And we've all done it. Surely my cancer, my family problem, my marriage crisis, my financial woes are problems so large, so big, that God's promises could not possibly uphold me and make things better. Surely forgiving one more time, even though I've forgiven 70 times 7, surely forgiving one more time is not going to help. That is far too weak of a thing for so great a problem. Humbling myself isn't going to accomplish anything. How am I going to get the upper hand if I humble myself? A kind word isn't going to turn away wrath, not after all the bitter words that we've exchanged. And prayer seems positively pathetic in the face of my problems. And so we creep and we crawl our way through life, fearful and tentative and apprehensive, thinking that because God's promises are not entirely reliable, that we have to bear our own load in life, that we have to do things our way, not his way, and we have to tiptoe around on his promises. But then all of a sudden, from behind us, we hear a voice singing. Sing to the Lord, he says. Praise the Lord. It's Jeremiah. Despite his huge load of problems, far bigger than yours, despite that, he was riding confidently along upon the promises of God, the very same promises that you and I have been creeping and crawling along on. He is riding on boldly and confidently, the same promises that we were afraid wouldn't hold us up. Look, they're upholding Jeremiah in his problems. That's what Paul meant when he said, "Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Stop creeping. Go ahead. Lean upon him. Stand on his promises. Even if you think those promises look too weak to you to uphold you in your situation, My goodness, look what was accomplished through the weakness of Jesus Christ. In His name, try loving your enemy once and doing good to those who hate you. Try it. Just see what happens. You know, God has a promise about that. Try forgiving again. Even though you've forgiven so many times, this may be the time that God works that miracle of repentance. Try being patient with God instead of coming down, getting down on Him right away when something goes wrong. Wait for the Lord. Wait for Him. And just watch what good things He will bring out of your terrible situations. Dig into the Word. It's the bread of life, He says. Why aren't you in it? Because in here you find a peace and a comfort and a strength for your life that the world cannot give you. Why aren't you standing on it? Try being generous in your service, liberal in your giving, and see if God doesn't bless it and bless you. Don't be afraid to get out there on His promises and live life to the fullest. You know, all of this has come home to me these past few weeks in our own family, our own extended family, with my niece, whom we have named in the bulletin today for a prayer request. She is, I hope she doesn't mind my sharing this with you, but I want to share with you her witness. She is pregnant, and they are trying to save the unborn child, but at the same time, she is dealing with the threat of cancer. A few weeks ago, they had to operate and remove a very large cyst that had cancer in it, and now they have to go back in again to see if there's more cancer. And meanwhile, there's this child to consider. They are at a point of weakness. They are crying. They are trying to cope. They're trying to find answers. They're trying to find direction and a sense of purpose in all of this. And yet I can rejoice to say to you today that in my conversations with them, they are still standing confidently on the promises of God for them, that God is with them, that it's going to work out for their best interests. Their faith is unshaken, for God is their strength and their shield. His promises are reliable, and you can stand on them with invincible weakness. So after you've griped and you've complained like Jeremiah, you can also turn it around like he did. And in the strength of God's promises, which, by the way, are all yes to you in Jesus Christ, in the strength of His promises, you can turn it around like Jeremiah, and you can declare with him, "But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers." Friends, get out there on his promises and live your life boldly and confidently. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.